Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Ayin Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Amud Bey, the last words. Says the Gemara, Amalei Reb Elazar L'Reb Oishi D'Dorei. Reb Elazar said to Reb Oishi, who was his contemporary. And as the Mepharshim explained, there were two Reb Oishias. The Reb Oishi who was a Tana, and there was Reb Oishi who was an Amora who lived at the same time as Reb Elazar. And the Gemara, in order to identify to which Reb Oishia Reb Elazar was speaking, says it was Reb Oishia who was his contemporary. Although the Mepharshim do point out, from here it's obvious that Reb Elazar still lived in the time of some Tanon. Because if he did not live in the time of some Tanon, then it would be obvious that he did not, that would be obvious whom he was speaking to. He said to him, Lo teisev akarech, don't sit down, until you help me understand the din that we learned in the Mishnah. Mefarshim try to understand what is the word like teisev akarech. What did he mean? Don't sit down. I saw two very nice pshatim. One pshat is we know that the Gemara says that ma bein doros harishonim l'doros achronim. What's the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations? And one of the differences is that the earlier generations learned Torah standing. They had the energy to learn Torah standing. Later generations had to sit down. Mara says the last of those that learned Torah standing was Rabbi Gamliel. What he was saying to him was, he was giving him a great compliment. I consider you in the status of people of the earlier generations who learned Torah standing. One pshat. Another pshat that I saw, very nice pshat, that Aruch HaNer suggests, is this. The Gemara says that there seems to be two contradictory psukim. One pasuk says that the Eisha Bahar, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, he sat. Another pasuk says that Noichi Omadati Bahar, that Moshe Rabbeinu stood on Har Sinai. How do we reconcile these two psukim? So Gemara Masechta Megillah says that the easier things that didn't require that much concentration, they learned while they were sitting, while they were standing, and the easier things they learned when they were standing, the harder things they learned when they were sitting. So what he was saying to Reb Oishia is that the question that I'm about to ask you is not such a difficult question. And you therefore don't have to sit down to understand and get me an answer. You could do it while you're still standing. Our Mishnah, we've learned this halacha numerous times. We've learned that anything that takes root before the Karban Michas HaOmer is brought becomes mutter, is no longer us because of Chadash. So he wanted to know Menola. From where do we know this rule? So he responded, the Ksiv, the Torah in describing the Tvuah that should be used for the Michas HaOmer describes it, Aviv, as something that's ripe. Mlal, Mechlal de'ikah de'lav, Aviv. There must be that there are grain that becomes mutter through the Michas HaOmer, even though it can't be used for the carbon because it's not yet ripe. What must it be? It must be Tvuah that took root. Ask the Gemara, who says that that's Pshat? The Dilma de'lav Aviv. Indeed, there are grains that aren't ripe, that are still mutter because of the chadash. Well, oilam, the ayil shlish. But it's referring to a situation that they at least grew a third. But if they didn't grow a third, the michas ha'omer can't be matter them. Most rishonim explain shlish, as I just explained it, that it grew a third. There are mefarshim that explain shlish, a different approach, that already reached the last third of its growth, a much later stage. So that pasuk isn't a raya that once it took root, the omer is matrit. Elam Shmuel, Mehechel Chermish, the pasuk says, from when it starts to grow, it's usable for the karb michas omer, lav mechlal, it must be the ikka, the lav bar chemish, that it's even not at that state, and even though it can't be used for the carbon, it's no longer chadash and mutter. That it's less than a third. says the Gemara, the Labar Chemish. You're right. The pasuk clearly indicates that way, but it's Shachas. Shachas, as we'll see extensively in today's shir, is grain that already grew that it could be used for animal feed. So it has some sort of growth. But who says if it's just taking root, Hashrosha is enough? Says the Gemara, Amar of Yitzchak, because the pasuk continuing in describing what kind of grain can be used for the Michas Omer says Kama. It has to be standing grain. I saw a beautiful verse from the Karen Ira. The Karen Ira says in our entire Gemara, the Gemara keeps on using the word Ella. Here we don't find the Gemara when it brings Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion using the word Ella preceding his opinion. Says the Karen Ira, the way to understand Rabbi Yitzchak is Rabbi Yitzchak's building on what Shmuel said. The Torah already said Chermish. So that means it grew somewhat. So what does the Torah have to say, comma also? It must be that the Torah has come to teach us something more. What's the Torah teaching us? Drabah comma, it's not even standing. It just took root, and it's enough not to be considered chadosh once the Michas Omer came. Says the Gemara, who says that's pshat? Dilma de labah comma, ola olam agam. Agam means that it's bendable. It grew that much that you have something you could bend. But something that only took root didn't even grow that much. And who says that that becomes mutter with the Michas Omer? Ella Amarava, Asha Tizra. Although this is not a pasuk by the Michas Omer, this is actually a pasuk by Shtei Alechem. But as we've learned so many times in Amasechta, the halachas of Shtei Alechem, the halacha of the Michas Omer travel together. As the Mishnah taught us the other day explicitly, the Shtei Alechem is matter chadosh in the Beis HaMikdash. The Omer is matter chadosh everywhere else. So if the Torah uses the words Asher Tizra, we learn from the Mishazriya. As soon as the grain is planted, the Michas Omer makes it mutter. Ask the Gemara, Amle Rava, Papa Rava, if so, that you're relying on this pasuk, so who says it has to take root? Maybe even earlier than that. Afak Abdullah Hishra Shnami, even if it didn't take root, as long as it was planted, the Michas Omer should be matterit. Amle Sudni, we'll explain this in a moment. The Torah says, Shatizra Besada. It's not just that it planted it. It had to be in the field. It had to be taking root. And that's how we know that as soon as the grain took root, the Michas Omer is matterit. What is the definition of the word Sudni? Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat, Rashi said, is that Sudni, the pasuk says regarding Talmid HaChachamim, Soid Hashem Lireyev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares his secrets Lireyev, so that's the word Sudni, he was a Talmud Chacham. Another pshat is, interesting pshat, that people who were in the business of manufacturing beer were called Sudni. Why were they called Sudni? Because you had to know the secret recipe on how to produce the beer. And Rashi goes on to explain that beer brewing was a great profession. It was a very lucrative profession, and people who were in that business were typically wealthy and were able to give a lot of tzedakah. But it all was built on a side, on a secret formula, and that's why they were called sudni. Says the Mishnah. We've learned, and we'll discuss this more, we've learned that until the Omer is cut, you're not allowed to do any of your own cutting. Says the Mishnah, however, Kaitzrim Beis HaShlachim Sheba Mokim. Fields that are irrigated in the valley may be cut earlier. And Rashi gives two explanations as to why. One is, as the Gemara will teach us, that since these are areas from where you can't bring the Omer, any place from where you can't bring the Michas Omer, you're allowed to cut earlier. One pshat. Another pshat Rashi suggests is because these are very delicate growth, the proof being that it needs extra water, and therefore you have to cut it as early as possible, otherwise it'll get ruined. Tysus, interestingly, says that there's actually two pshatim how to understand this Mishnah, the two girsas. One pshat is, one girsa is Kurtzim Beis Hashalchim Vishabamokim. It's teaching us two separate rules. Tfuah that grows in the Beis HaShalchim, you could cut, don't have to wait. Tfuah that grows in the Amokim, you don't have to wait. Why? Because we're going to learn later in our parak that even though b'di'evid you can bring the Omer from those types of fields, l'chatchili you shouldn't. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us, according to that Girsa, from any place that l'chatchila, you can't bring the Omer you could cut before. But Taisa says that isn't the preferred pshat. The preferred pshat is the Girsa that we have. Because it's based on Shachar Shabamakim, so it carries both characteristics that I just identified. Number one, it's a place from where you can't even bring b'di'eved the Omer. Number two, it's going to get ruined. Therefore, there, and only there, can you cut earlier. And even though you could cut there, avalai gochim, you can't pile it up. And here, too, the Rishonim give two explanations as to why. One explanation is because we just said you're allowed to cut because it's going to get ruined. But so cut, but that's no reason you should be allowed to pile it up. Pile it, you can wait for later. Or another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is we're concerned that if you're going to cut, you may come to eat. But if the halacha is that you're not allowed to pile it up in the normal fashion, that will serve as a reminder not to eat until the current omer is brought. Says the Mishnah, Anshi Yurichai, Kaitzim Ritzayin Chachamim, they would cut earlier with permission of the Chachamim, because Yurichai, most Rishonim explained, was an area where the tfu would get ruined if it wasn't cut earlier. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim. We all remember the Pasuk in Yeshua that Yerichai was supposed to remain a place that nobody should be, should never be rebuilt. And how do we have people living in Yerichai and planting and growing in Yerichai? So the Paiskim say, interesting distinction. The halacha is that Eir Nidachas, the Torah says, Lo Yibana, can't be rebuilt. By Eir Nidachas, if it was rebuilt, you have to destroy it. Yerichai wasn't supposed to be built, but once it got built, you could live there. The Goychim, however, they would also pile up Shloim Ritzayin Chachamim. However, V'loim Mich B'yadam, they weren't told off. And I will explain this extensively. Koitzrim L'Shachas, we're allowed to cut, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Tanakamim, we're allowed to cut growth that grew to the size of animal feed, we spoke about before, or Machal Behema. So the way most Rishonim learn, and this is the way we're going to learn, you have to have two things. Number one, you have to cut on behalf of an animal and only feed it to the animal. But you're not allowed to cut on behalf of humans. There are Rishonim that say, Kaitzim L'Shachas, you're allowed to cut for anybody. You're only allowed to feed it to the animals. We're not going to learn with that pshat. Continues Rabbi Yehuda. Amosai, when is that applicable? Bizman Shemaschel Ad Shelo Hevi Shlish. If it hasn't grown a third. But once it's grown a third, you may not do so. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon is more lenient, yiktsav yachal af mishevi shlish, even if it's greater than a third. And again, the way the Rishonim explain Rav Shimon, it's only in a situation where you're giving it to animals. If you're giving it to humans, you cannot do it ever. Another did. Even though, as we're learning, we may not cut the field prior to the bringing of the Michas Omer, of Nainatius, if there are trees there, then you're allowed to cut. And here too, the Rishonim give a number of explanations as to why. One explanation the Rishonim give is because from such an area, you can't bring the tefuah that grows in such an area is not tefuah that can be used for the Michas Omer, and therefore you could cut. Others explain that the reason you're allowed to cut, because it's obvious that you're cutting, not because you want the tefuah, not for the tefuah that you're cutting, but you're cutting it because it's just interfering with the trees, and therefore you're allowed to cut. And a third pshat, why you're allowed to cut? Because it's a question of climb. You have tefuah growing in the natias with the trees, and that's a situation of climb. So you're not cutting because it's your own purpose, you're cutting to avoid the issue of climb, which is actually Mechlekes Rambam and Ravid, if there is climb when tefuah grows together with trees. Furthermore, you're allowed to cut their custom was that when they came back from Levaya, they would all congregate in one location, and that's where they said Birchas Aveilim. So if you're cutting the area because of that reason, it's mutter. Or Nebitl Beis Medrash, if there wasn't enough room in the yeshiva, so they would clear an area outside, and they would learn there. If you're cutting for that purpose, you're allowed to. So I saw Cheskel Abramsky asks that if the halach is that you're allowed to cut with name the tears because you're not doing it for the purpose of the tefuah. You're doing it for your own need. Why does the Mishnah have to also list Mnei Beis Ovel, Mnei Beis Hamidrash? This is a very simple pshat. He says, when you're cutting in an area where there are no trees, it's obvious to everybody why you're cutting it, because the trees. But here there are no trees. So somebody sees you cutting the tefuah from this area, he doesn't know that there's a levaya coming. He doesn't know that there isn't enough room in the yeshiva. And therefore we would think that it's usur, teaches us the Mishnah, as long as it's not for the purpose of the tefuah, it's permitted. Continues the Mishnah, lo yas ois and krichos, but when you cut in a permissible situation, you shouldn't make him to krichos, avim nichen tzfasim. Two pshatim, I saw in Rishonim, the difference between krichos and tzfasim. One pshat is the krichos, is that when you make the bundles, you tie them together. So the Mishnah is teaching us, in order to show that it's different, in order not to come to eat it, you shouldn't tie the bundles together, you should leave them loose. Although I did see Mepharshim say, loose doesn't mean completely loose, you just shouldn't tie it in the normal fashion. Another pshat is krichos means large bundles, tzfasim means small bundles. Continues the Mishnah. Mitzvahs are aimed to love him in a kama. Properly, the amish should come from the kama. Le'matzah, but if you don't have kama, you have him in amirim. You could bring from ready prepared bundles. Furthermore, mitzvahs are love him in a lach. Preferably, it should become from moist. Tvor, le'matzah yavi yavi, you could bring from the dry. Mitzvahs are lichtzah b'layla. The mitzvah is to cut it by night. But nichtzah b'yoyim, if you did it by day, it's kosher. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Karen Ira. If the Mishnah already taught us that you're allowed to bring from prepared bundles, so it's certainly allowed to cut by day. It's no worse than taking from prepared bundles. So says the Karen Ayur, the Mishnah is teaching us a beautiful chiddush. We know cutting the Omer is a mitzvah. So we would think that if for whatever reason you can't cut at night, so what should you do? You have two options. You could cut by day, or should you take from already prepared bundles. Teaches us the Mishnah, take, cut by day. Because the cutting in itself is a mitzvah. So when you cut by day, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. When you take from already prepared bundles, you're missing out the mitzvah of cutting. And ends off the Mishnah, which we'll discuss extensively also in the Gemara, v'doiches ha-Shabbos, what that means. Begins the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Yemen Omer. Kasav Achad Omer, v'ktzartem es ktzira, you should cut for vesimus aimer. V'ktziv, reishis ktzirchem el akayin. The other pasuk says, so the first pasuk seems to teach us that you could do your own cutting before you bring the aimer. The other pasuk says that no, you're not allowed to do cutting prior to cutting first the aimer. How do we reconcile these two pasukim? Answers the Gemara HaKetzah. Mimakim shatam evi, as we learned in the Mishnah. If it's a place from where you're allowed to bring the aimer, iat the kaitzer, you may not cut before you cut the aimer. However, mimakim shatam evi, if it's a place from where you may not bring the aimer, at the kaitzer. Then you could cut earlier. This Gemara is the basis of a psak in the Rambam. We have been discussing the halachas of Chadash. And as we learned, Chadash seems to be us and Chutz La'aretz. Says the Rambam, even if you hold that you're not allowed to eat Chadash or Chutz La'aretz, the halacha that you're not allowed to cut any tefuah before you cut the Omer doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because you certainly can't bring tefuah from Chutz La'aretz for the Michas Omer. And our Gemara just taught us that any place where you're not allowed, where you can't bring the tefuah from, you're allowed to cut. So for Chutz La'aretz, says the Rambam, you could cut even if you're makbid on Chadash. Goes to Rishash one step further. He says, certainly, b'zman hazeh, Chadash applies in Eretz Yisrael, but what does that mean? You're not allowed to eat from the Chadash before the second day of Pesach. But cutting, you could cut earlier, says the Rishash. Why? Because unfortunately now we don't have a base of Mikdash. So you're not cutting Omer that can be brought for the carbon, because there is no carbon. And therefore, the din of cutting doesn't apply nowadays. Says the Sfasemis. Why? We believe Mashiach can come at any moment. So what's happening? It's before Pesach, and you're cutting, because you're saying there's not going to be an Omer. We have to believe that Mashiach's coming, there'd still be an Omer this year. And therefore the Sfasemis says that in Eretz Yisrael, not only does the Isser Achilas Chadash certainly apply, but the Isser of Ktsiras Chadash applies as well. Ask the Gemara, Ema, perhaps the way to reconcile the two psukim is as follows. Mimin shatamevi at the kaitzer. From a species that could be used for the Omer, which we said is barley, you may not cut before the Mechus Omer is brought. However, a min shi'atamevi, from a species that you can't bring the Mechus Omer, which is really all the other four grains, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, at the Kaitzer. So maybe the Mishnah is teaching us even a bigger chiddush, that any grain that can't be used for the Mechus Omer can be used, can be cut before. Says the Gemara, Hulim Atzad Amr, that doesn't work. Because we learned in the previous year, that Rabbi Yochanan learned the Gzeirah Shava between Chadash and Chala, and just like the Halacha of Chala applies by all five grains listed in the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, so to us Chadash applied by all five grains. So the Mishnah taught us, and she richa katz in Ritzayin Chachamim, v'gaychen shalav Ritzayin Chachamim. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah has a very interesting statement. That some things that the Anshei Yerichai did, they were satisfied with, and some things that the Anshei Yerichai did, they weren't satisfied with, and they didn't say anything. Ask the Gemara, man shamli, who is the Tana that follows the approach of Michu v'loy Michu? Some things they did say, sometimes they said, and sometimes they didn't say. Rabbi Yehuda. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, so if we're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana of our Mishnah, ask the Gemara, the Sov Rabbi Yehuda, Sira, the Anshei Yerichai Ritzayin Chacham Havet. If we're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana of our Mishnah, it's going to turn out that Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with what they cut. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya. There's a Braisa. The Braisa says, Shishadvarim also Anshei Yerichai. The Anshei Yerichai did six things. Shloish Ritzayin Chacham. Three things they did the Chacham was satisfied with. The Shloish Ritzayin Chacham, three they Chacham were not satisfied with. And explains the Braisa. The Elish Ritzayin Chacham. These were the things that the Chacham was satisfied with. Makivin the Kolon Kalayoy. We learned in Masech the Psachim, Perek Mokum Shenahagu, that work is not done on Erev Pesach. They would graft on Erev Pesach. What does grafting mean? Number Pshatim and the Rishonim. One Pshat, interesting Pshat, is that they would have some sort of a formula of different nutrients that they would inject into the tree to make the tree grow better. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that even though grafting is asur, when is grafting asur? When you take two different minim, they would take a young tree and an old tree and graft the young tree that had young energy into the old tree. Another pshat, I don't even know how to tell the difference, there's male trees and female trees. And they grafted a male and female tree, which is not an Issa Klayim, and they did this on Erev Pesach. Why? So Rishonim, why did they think that they're allowed to do this? So Rishonim give two explanations. One is because they didn't really consider this a malacha. Malacha is asur on Erev Pesach. This is not something that they considered a malacha. One pshat. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggested that the tree needed this to survive. So it falls in the category of a dover of it. And just like in Chol HaMoed, a dover of it is permitted, so too in Erev Pesach, a dover of it was mutter. Next thing that they did, the Karchen Eshma. Karchen Eshma, Gemara Masechet Pesachim as well. Many different Peshatim in Karchen Eshma. We'll say some of the Peshatim. One Peshat is, it has to do with the Parashah of Shema Yisrael. One Peshat is, the way you're supposed to say the Parashah is Shema Yisrael, Kama, Hashem Elokeinu. They would say Shema Yisrael Hashem. Because that's a big mistake. Because it seems to say Shema Yisrael Hashem. We were asking Hashem to hear our tefillahs. Which is a nice thing to do, but that's not what Shema Yisrael means. Another pshat is that they said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and they didn't stop between that first pasuk and the next parasha of Ahavta. And actually, Shema Yisrael and Ahavta speak about different concepts. One is speaks about Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and one speaks about Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. So you have to make a pause. Hashem Shmuel is a very interesting pshat. He says, Shema Yisrael speaks to one's intellect. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, one should understand intellectually that there's a God. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. Doesn't speak about the intellect. It speaks b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. It speaks about your heart. They didn't separate between Shema Yisrael and v'ahavta. And they only thought that what you understand intellectually, you have to accept in your heart. But that's incorrect. A Jew, even if he doesn't understand, has to follow the Messiah, has to follow the minig, has to follow what we know is the truth. Another pshat, which is relevant, la loch lemaisa, is that they said Shema Yisrael and Vahafta, and they didn't say Baruch Shem Kvoy Machus Lo Elam Vod at all, or they said it, but they didn't say it silently, as we know the meaning is to say it silently, which is the basis of a psak of the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha says, we know that if somebody says Shema, and he misses a word, he has to repeat the Shema. What's the Halacha if somebody said Shema, and he skipped saying Baruch Shem Kvoy Machus Lo Elam Vod? Does he have to go back? He says, based on this Gemara, based on that pshat, you wouldn't have to repeat the Shema for skipping Baruch Shem Kvod. And the third thing they did was Kaitzun Fnei Omer. They would cut before the Omer B'tzayin Chachamim. Ask the Shita, as we'll see in a moment, who's this Tana that's saying this? The Tana that's saying this is Rameya. Rameya is the man, the Omer, the Mishnah, and our parak that said that when they cut, when they matzah Shuki Yushalayim, when they found the Shuki Yushalayim full of Tfur right after the Mechsayim, Shloi B'tzayin Chachamim. And here it says B'tzayin Chachamim. Answers the Shita. Rameya was upset when they cut, when they could have waited. But as we learned earlier, here we're referring to a situation where Yerichai, if you're not going to cut, the Tfuah is going to get ruined. Moreover, as I said, Yerichai is a place from where you can't bring the Omer. There Rameya won't have a problem with cutting. Continues the Braisa. These were the things that Chum were not satisfied with. We learned that even if you're allowed to cut, the Mishnah taught us, you're not allowed to pile it up. Furthermore, umatirim gamzia shel hekdish shel chorav shel shikma. The way the Rishonim explain is as follows. The earlier people who lived in Yerichai were magdish the trees. They had good trees in Yerichai, and they were magdish those trees. They, the people who lived there in later generations, cut off the branches for their own personal use. Because they felt that only the trunk was hegdish, this one pshat, that only the trunk was hegdish, not the branches. And therefore, they felt that there's no issue of me'ila behegdish on the branches. Or they felt, the other Rishonim explained, Achronim explained that only the person who was magdishit is over me'ila behegdish. They weren't the ones who were magdishit, it was previous generations. So Taisus asks a great question. We know the halacha is that poidim hegdish al shavapruta. You can even be poid the hegdish just with a shavapruta. So ask Taisus, why did they have to get into valve with a shaila? Is it hegdish? Isn't it hegdish? A pruta is nothing. So be poid it and you won't have a shaila. So Taisus gives two terutzim. One terutz Taisus gives is that only a regular hegdish can have this halacha pigeon. But there's a type of hegdish which is called kainim that you can't be poid. They were magdishit with a kainim. But then Taisus says a gewaldige chiddush. Taisus says the halacha that a pidin, technically, you can be paid the hegdish even on a shavapruta, is only the person who is actually magdishit. Someone else who's coming to be paid the hegdish has no right to be paid it only with its real value. They weren't the people that were magdishit. It was the future generations. And therefore, they didn't have that option of being paid it with a pruta. Why is that the halacha? The Chronim spend a lot of time discussing this Taisus. So some say it's a special din that was only set to the owners. Why? Because the owners are the only people that can always backtrack. The owners are the people that can backtrack and be shoyal on the Hegdish. But somebody else can't be shoyal on the Hegdish. Another pshat is a very interesting din that some Achronim suggest. If I'm Magdish something, and now it becomes Hegdish, and you want to come and be paid it, I have a right to say I'm not agreeable. So you see that the owners have a different position, and they have the din of pruta, no one else. Interesting psak that I saw from Rameh Shapiro based on this Gemara. We know the halach is that you're not allowed to cut a living tree. From here he says that you see that they cut the branches. The din of cutting a tree is strictly on the tree trunk, but not on the branches. Branches can be cut. Furthermore, the third thing that they did, uparts and princes began to say, upart the same, they would make openings in their fields. Lahachal neshel aniyim b'shnei b'tzaris b'shabes v'yom tovim divrei meir. They would open up the fields. The fruit that fell off the tree, the poor people could come and eat from them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why was Rameya not satisfied with that? Because there's two reasons that the Gemara suggests. One reason is because they were concerned that if they're going to be allowed to eat the fruit that fell off the tree, they're even going to take fruit off the tree, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. One pshat. Another pshat is that there was a concern that when they're going to go in Shabbos or Yom Tov by day, the fruit that they're picking up from the floor, Shabbos or Yom Tov by day, might have been connected to the tree at the beginning of Shabbos or Yom Tov, and therefore became muksa, and they're not allowed to take or move that fruit. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, I don't understand what you're saying. Imbrit soin chachamim, hey maisim, if what they did, the chum had no problem with, yeah, you call other maisikin, so everybody should be allowed to do so. And if not, not. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda we referred to at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, ela eilu v'leilu shalai b'tzai chacham, everything they did, the chacham weren't satisfied with. However, for three things the chacham felt that it was so grievous that they should protest, another three weren't so terrible. V'eilu shalai b'tzai chacham, why were the three that they didn't protest? Makivin dekolum kol ayoyim, v'kachin ha-shma, v'kaitzrim, so here too the Shita asks, Rabbi Yehuda is the Tan in the Mishnah that says that the Chachamim, the Chachamim had no problem that when they went out and found the Shuke Yerushalayim full of the new Tfuah. And here he says the Shalai Ritzai Chachamim. How do we reconcile this? So says the Shita, where was that Mishnah talking about? It was in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim there were many oily regalim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, all these oily regalim have to have something to eat. So that's why he was satisfied that all the chadish was available to them. But that has nothing to do with Yerichai. Ve'ilu shemich b'yadam. What were the issues that the Chachamim were not happy with? Matirim gamzi shal hegdish, shal chor v'shal shikma. Or parts and parts the same, because the same, parts the same, k'day l'hachal neshal anim b'shtei b'tzuris, b'shav sefiyam t'ayvim. And here we have a new thing. V'nois n'peye l'yerek u'michu b'yadam. The halacha is, we're going to spend a lot of time in this still in today's shir, that the Torah requires, one of the matnas aniyim, is that you have to leave from every field a peya, a corner, for the aniyim. That's only from trees, not from vegetables. They left peya from vegetables. And what's the problem? So, you give a little extra tzedakah. The problem is, the peya is not mechuyiv in trumas ha-maisris. And they thought that this was real peya. The Neim didn't take off Trumas Maisrus when it was really Mechuyif. So ask the Mefarshim, let's say it's not peya, but it's Hefker. And the Aloch is that Hefker is also part of Trumas Maisrus. So what's the problem? So I saw a number of Pshatim, two nice Terutzim. One Terutz is as follows. They were Amaratzim. When they left peya, it wasn't because out of their own free will, they left peya because they wanted to be generous. They thought that was the Aloch. So it was a hefker betos. That's not called a hefker. One pshat. Another pshat, very famous machloikus and shas, a beisham and beis hillel. If hefker laniyim v'loy lashirim, if you only make hefker for aniyim and not for shirim, is that hefker? Actually, beisham is more lenient than beis hillel. Beisham says it is hefker, and beis hillel says it's not hefker. Who would a mafgrit for? Laniyim. Not for the rich people, so it's not in the category of Hefker. But back to what's relevant to our sugya, a beautiful brisa. Now let's come back to Masechta Melachos. What's relevant here is that if our Mishnah is representing the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so why did the Mishnah say that they weren't Moicha? It says that they were Micha B'yadam. Answers the Gemara, there's a fundamental problem with this brisa. If you read the list that Rabbi Yehuda discusses, it starts off saying there were six things, but there were really seven. Al Samim Kan Ktsira, this entire issue should be removed from the Braisa, and the only place where Ktsira is discussed in the Mishnah, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Kartz L'Shachas, Machla Behema, we learned. Tanan Hossam. So as we just said a moment ago, the halacha is that if somebody has a field with produce growing, he has to leave Peya for the Matnas Anim. The Mishnah in Masechta Peya discusses every field has to have its own Peya. And you can't take pay from one field for another field. So the question is, let's say, Baruch Hashem, you're a wealthy person, and you have acres and acres of field. So when is it considered one field, and when is it considered multiple fields? Says the Mishnah Masech to Peya. Ve'elam afsikal peya. The following things divide a field into two separate fields, that each field should have to have its own peya taken. Hanachal, which means like a stream, v'shlulis, or a pond of water, v'derech ha-yochid, derech ha-rabim. Most explain that derech ha-yochid is four amos wide, Derech HaRabim is 16 amos wide. So Mefarshim asks, if a Derech HaYochid is a Hefsik, it's only 4 amos. So Derech HaRabim, which is 16 amos, certainly is a Hefsik. So one Teretz says it's Loizu Afsu. Another Teretz says, with the Mishnah there continues to teaching us that by trees it's not a Hefsik. It's teaching us not only by a Derech HaYochid is not a Hefsik by trees, but even a Derech HaRabim is not a Hefsik. V'shvil HaRabim v'shvil HaYochid, a place that people walk, HaKavua, but it has to be a place that people always go there, B'yimaisa Cham v'yimaisa Shamim, both in the summer and the winter. And here too, the Mefarshim point out, the difference between a Shvil and a Derech is that a Derech doesn't have to be used all the time. As long as you have a Derech HaYochid or a Derech HaRabim, it's considered a separation. A Shvil has to be traveled on all the time. V'habur is empty space. V'anur is plowed field. V'zera acher, or different, if there's a different type of growth, it's a hefsik. And now we get to the point. The koitzel l'shachas mafsik. Divrei Meir. Which according to Meir, this is a very important concept that we're about to discuss in understanding our Gemara Be'ezer Hashem. Meir is saying the following. What happens? I have a field, and I start plowing, I start cutting the field. So is that considered a hefsik? Of course not. The fact that I chose to start cutting the middle doesn't separate the field. I have to start somewhere. So Ramey says, if you're cutting a field because you're harvesting a field, that won't create a hefsik. But if you're cutting l'shachas, going back to the beginning of the shiur, for animal feed, so there you're cutting, not as harvesting. Rameya considers cutting for harvesting, cutting for shachas, cutting for animal feed, not an act of cutting, and therefore it creates a hefsik. That's Rameya's opinion. The koitz l'shachas, mafsik, divrei Rameya. The chamayim, ain't a mafsik. Just because you cut for shachas doesn't create a separation, elam kecharis, unless you plowed it as well. Omer Rabba Babachana, Omer Rav Yochanan. Rameya b'shitas u'shimen omer. Rameya's opinion is consistent with the opinion of Rav Shimon that we learned in our Mishnah. What did we learn in our Mishnah? Domer, even though we've been learning extensively, that you're not allowed to cut the Chadash before the Minchas Ha'imer is brought, taught us Rav Shimon in the Mishnah, Yitzav Yachol, Af Mishavi Yishlish. Cutting Shachas is not considered an act of harvesting. And therefore, even though you're not allowed to cut Tvur before the Michas HaOmer comes, this Tvur you could cut. So obviously, what is the opinion of Rav Shimon? That Koitz L'Shachas is not an act of harvesting. Exactly what Ramey said. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rava, the Kamala HaShmatzah. Rava was sitting and repeated exactly what we just learned. Eisvei Rav Achabar Rav Huna L'Rava. So he asked him, is this indeed true? That Rameya and Rav Shimon travel together. It says in the Tosefta, Ochla Chagav akarsmu Nemolim. If a field was attacked, Chagav is grasshoppers, Nemolim are ants. The difference is, Mefarshim explained, that grasshoppers attack the Tvur from the top, Ochla, it attacks from the top, and the Nemolim attack from underground. Shavrsu aruach, or the Tvur is broken by the wind. Hakol Moidim, everybody agrees that if besides this deterioration, destruction of the Tvua, there was also Harisha, Mafsik. That creates a separation that the two areas are considered separate fields, and you have to take pay from each field separately. Loi Harish, but if all you had is this destruction, not coupled with Harisha, ain't a Mafsik. Then it won't create a separation. Now, Hakamoidim, who is this Tana that's agreeing to this Psak, man, Remeya? So now let's try to figure it out, says the Gemara. Iyar b'shlom masnisin b'shloi hevishlish. The Remeya in our Mishnah speaking about kotzer l'shachas is that even if it didn't bring yet a third, it's still considered a separation when you do that act. And Braisa that says that it's not enough that there was that destruction. It also has to be coupled with a Harisha. So why in the Braisa do you have to have Harisha? And the Mishnah may not require Harisha. Because we have a very good way of distinguishing. Because we'll explain that the Mishnah is talking about a case where even though it didn't bring a shlish, but that, if you cut it, that separates. The Braisa, since it brought a shlish, suggests that destruction alone will not create a separation. It has to be coupled with Harisha. Braisa, the Harish in, loy Harish loy, because behavior shlish. So there's a distinct, there's a difference. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is also talking b'shevi shlish, that had to be, had brought a third, hashta. Umah hasam, the Adam, where you're doing it on behalf of a person. Amra mei loy shmak tzira, hachalai koshke. So how can we reconcile? So it must be that a mayor distinguishes between Haviyah Shlish and Lo Haviyah Shlish. That's a very big problem. Because Rav Shimon doesn't make a difference between Haviyah Shlish and Lo Haviyah Shlish. Rav Shimon said that even Lo Haviyah Shlish. So we wanted to say, ask the Gemara, that Rav Meir and Rav Shimon agree. We just proved they don't agree. Because Rav Meir makes a difference between Haviyah Shlish and Lo Haviyah Shlish, and Rav Shimon doesn't. So, says Rava, therefore your statement that Rav Meir and Rav Shimon agree is incorrect. What is the right way of learning? Rav Meir b'shittas Rav Yehuda Amra. Whose positions are the same? The position of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Because let's learn the Mishnah again. Because when Rav Yehuda is saying the Mishnah, the Omar, Amasai, when is it considered an act b'zman shehizkal ad shelo yaveh shlish? Am hizkal ad shelo yaveh shlish? If it already brought a third, awesome. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda, we just finished proving that Rabbi Meir makes a difference between Hevi Shlish and Loi Hevi Shlish. Rabbi Yehuda does the same. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda will be in agreement. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Because where did Rabbi Yehuda make a difference, indeed, between Hevi Shlish and Loi Hevi Shlish? Aim of the Shamalei Rabbi Yehuda, Behema. He's speaking about Shachas, and as I explained when we learned the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama are speaking about Machal Behema, Lodom, Mishamet Lo. Because if you're going to say, says the Gemara, a very important point, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda is not speaking strictly when you cut it for Behema, but even when you cut it for Adam, Im can have a plus or tamay. Very important rule. There's a rule throughout Shas. That wherever Rabbi Yehuda begins his statement with the word Amasai, we're to understand Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing, he's explaining. Let's look at our Mishnah. Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda is quoted in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda starts his opinion, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amasai. So Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Tanakhama. And if we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about Adam, and the Tanakhama is speaking about Behema, it turns out that they're arguing. But Amasai teaches us that they're not arguing. Therefore, whose opinion does Ramei represent? Ella, says the Gemara Kiyasa, Rav Dimi Omer Ramei b'shittas Rav Kiva Rabba Omer. Ramei is following the opinion of Rav Kiva. Dama, afl Adam nam lo have a katsira. That even if you're cutting for people, it's not considered an act of harvesting. Where do we see the opinion of Yehuda? The Tanan is a Mishnah Masechta Peah. Hamanam Masada, if somebody collects in his field, v'shaya by klochem lachim, and he left over moist stalks, Rameyam Peyel Kalech Vechad. From every separate area, you have to give its own payah. V'chamamim, Mechad El Bekol. One payah for an entire field will still be adequate. V'amar Yehuda Mishmu, L'chayiv Ramekiva El B'manam L'Kloyos. He only said it if you're taking it to eat immediately. That's when it's not considered an act of harvesting. Avla B'amar L'Aitzer, when you're doing it for putting away, it is considered an act of harvesting. So we see that Rabbi Kiva is the Tana that doesn't hold that this is an act of harvesting. Ask the Gemara, Eini, because Rav Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mechayev Rabbi Kiva Apenam Loitzer. So how can you say he distinguishes? So Rameya is going to hold if you did a Menam Loitzer, it will be an act of harvesting. Rabbi Kiva holds it isn't. Answers the Gemara, Savala Kavasei Bechada Apagle Bechada. He agrees with Reb Kiva about the difference between a third and not a third, but they disagree about Menam Loitzer. Reb Kiva is going to hold Menam Loitzer is a separator. Rameya will hold it's not a separator because it's considered an act of harvesting.